Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of SEO Ranking Special Podcast, the SEO Agency Roller Coaster. So imagine you're on a roller coaster, but instead of insane double loops and drops when you lose your senses, we're diving deep into the dynamic world of SEO agencies. Here, we're taking a closer look at the life of SEO agencies and pros, shedding some light on the everyday challenges, unfortunate bumps, and the big wins that come with the territory. You have to be this tall to ride this mix of straight talk, a sprinkle of laugh, and tons of behind-the-scenes knowledge. So if you're all about staying up to date with SEO and agency life, hit that subscribe button, keep yourself in the know, stay sharp, and you might even find yourself chuckling here and there. My name is Andrew Zarudi, and I'm part of the marketing team over at SEO Ranking, and I'll be guiding you on this wild ride along with my co-host, Chris Simmons, the brains behind the OMG Center, your go-to for digital agency growth hacks. Hey, Chris, super excited to be with you here today. And let's just make sure our guest is buckled up and ready to hit the road.
Thanks very much, Andrew. As usual, I love that you just have to be this tall to rise and that little bit. I know Darren fits the bill there in terms of height. I'm Chris. I run the OMG Center. We help agencies get more money in less time, but more quickly with a little less stress, hopefully as well. Darren, give us an intro. Tell us who you are.
According to one comment and according to my podcast bio, I am a very angry receding Welshman. I'm the co-owner of Engage Web. It's our 15th anniversary this month, which is very exciting. So we're 15 years old. They said it would never last. And we help very small businesses in the UK and some very large businesses around the world essentially be the best and destroy their competition. And I also like arguing with people online, which I do a lot of, and get a lot of exposure because it's fun.
It can be. So we're here to talk about the agency, past, present, future, and all that sort of stuff. But first of all, are you ready to get on the roller coaster and ride with us for the day?
I am probably ready to get on the roller coaster, so long as there's not any too fast, sharp turns. Because oh shit.
So first question for you today, Darren, is how did you get on this agency roller coaster? What kicked it all off for you?
Do you know, I don't know how much I can say about that. I was working for a agency in Manchester. Well, not Manchester, Stockport. It was called Manchester when I applied for it, but it wasn't. It was Stockport. And I didn't like it. It was like being in a chicken farm, a battery hen, and everybody sort of sat around the walls and not able to make a brew when they want to. You know, break time's 11 till 11:15. You were not allowed to have a cup of coffee until that.
Quite rigid.
Yeah, it was not the way to treat people who were like in their 30s. And they didn't do stuff the ethical way that you should be doing stuff for digital marketing. So myself and somebody else there, we left and decided to set up our own agency, initially helping other agencies with content marketing because we had a field of writers and we wrote thousands of posts. So we worked for lots of agencies around the UK, for lots of really big clients that we're not allowed to talk about because of non-disclosure agreements, which was really, really frustrating. Huge companies, can't mention a single bloody one of them. And it wasn't until we got a bit of traction that we started helping people directly and were able to actually build up our brand. Hence, we can talk about some of the clients we've got now. It was fun. It was risky. And that whole jumping ship and leaving a fairly well-paid job, then having no money immediately was a big risk, but something I've never looked back on.
That's one of the early kind of significant worries, keeps you up at night kind of thing when you start an agency, because you are just a two-man team at that point in time, but at the same time you're a two-man team with dependents of some kind, whether it just be rent or whether it be rent and kids and all sorts of other things. Over the last, what you said, 15 years, isn't it, this year?
Yeah, 15 years. Yeah, it was April 2009 we started.
Well done. It is significant given the attrition rate of agencies. There's probably been some real kind of twists and turns, roller coaster style, over the last few years. Have you ever really wanted to get off?
Do you know, we did actually. We did look at the possibility of maybe selling some years ago. And we went through a whole process with a business broker agency to value the business and looked at the possibility of people acquiring it. And it was at that point we realized that we really can't. Because as you yourself know, Chris, we're in the process now of looking to buy other agencies.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Most digital marketing agencies are not in this condition at which they can be sold. So we were not in the condition at which we could get a decent sale for it. And we know that now. And we should never have gone to a broker. So it was never going to work. We didn't have the client contracts. We didn't have the repeat value. We didn't have processes in place. We didn't have the management team. It was all pretty much based on myself and Leanne. And if we were to exit, there was no business at that time. So we've turned that corner and decided now that we are going to build up this business so that it can run without us. I'm not going to be the face of it. I'm not the person bringing in all the leads. It needs to operate without the owner. That's the big tip for digital marketing agencies now. If you're a three or four person agency, or maybe a few more, you need it to run without you. because it doesn't have a sustainable value if it's reliant on you. If you're the person bringing in the business and you then leave, you've got basically a job with staff, not an agency.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I was wondering, what does Engage Web specialize in besides SEO? Is there like a focus that you bring additionally to the table?
Yeah, my background is in web design. I've been building websites since, I tell people, 1998, which is absurd.
Was that Dreamweaver and those sorts of things?
It was Notepad originally, but yeah, Dreamweaver 2, I think, was my first Dreamweaver. But I then went on to work at Game. So Game, you might know as Electronics Boutique. That's what they're called in the US. In the UK, we bought Game, and I designed their website many times over a few years in the early 2000s. So my background is web design. We build a lot of websites. We've got hundreds and hundreds of web design clients, and we devised a package that was for new startups. So you don't have to pay a lot of money up front, and it was based on £99 a month. So that was it. That's all they paid. And we do everything for them. And we started in 2018. It's now 2024 and we've not changed the price. It's still £99 a month for clients. So wow, that we find that works really well because businesses love the way it fits into cash flow. They don't need to find any capital to have a website. And of course, having a website isn't like having a car or a business or a property. You can't resell it later when you want to get a new one. It essentially has no value. It's dead money. So paying a monthly fee for it works out really well when you can then get a new one after 3 years and not pay any more, just have it continue. So that's our big project and our big product. And we've seen a lot of people copy us since we started it.
Imitation is the best form of flattery, I guess.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is.
I was also thinking you're focusing on web design and it helps you stand out with your audience. And I was wondering, how do you stay competitive? How do you always keep that up to date? How do you continue offering more? And I also like to mention that you said that you started offering £99 a month or not a month, maybe per project or just for maintenance. Maybe that has evolved. Maybe you like build up a habit and now you're more confident and like you have a leading position. So just wanted to have an understanding how that evolution came in terms of like building up a stronger position in the market to help you stay competitive.
Yeah, well, what we do when we originally brought that package in, it was me that was building it. Even though my background is in web design, I absolutely hate building websites. It's just not something I've ever enjoyed doing. I kind of fell into it, even though my first job was web designer of Game. I don't know how that happened, but you know, it did. But I don't enjoy doing it. So I was building them and I wasn't the fastest at doing it. They were good. Don't get me wrong. They were good. They were very good, but I didn't get pleasure out of it. What we've done is we've hired web designers who work with us now. We've got 3 full-time web designers here. And they are all better than me. That is the key. When you own an agency, you cannot micromanage people. You cannot be the one saying, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm the big star. I'm the big I am. I'm better than everybody. You need to surround yourself with people who are actually better than you, because then you will learn from them and they will improve on what you've done. The 3 web designers we've got are incredible and they are building the whole things from scratch. There's no templates involved. They love animation. The websites we build are so interactive, so engaging. There's so much movement on them. We've got one with this guy sort of jumping from the top of the screen into a pool of water and splashing up, and then a rubber duck bouncing across the screen. And that's all done through CSS. There's no video on there. And they are, which means they're fast. Obviously, they're fast. They're light. Yeah. They load very quickly. And then you can scroll back and forth and see the animation change as you do it. It gets people wanting to play with them and stay on the websites more, but it also gets other people looking at those going, I want that. I want that. We had a guy from America come to us because we got lots of web design clients in America. I don't know why. Americans love us. Lots of clients in America. And this one guy saw this animation. He said, oh, I want that. But what I want is I want to be able to come out from a hat and throw dollars in the air and have all the dollars float around next to me. And we've animated this whole thing. So it's like a magician's magic trick on a stage. So his whole website just kind of explodes with him coming out of this top hat. But again, all done through CSS. So it's about making the website stand out, distinctive, engaging, that people want to be on them, they want to stay on them. And then we get more clients through that because they are such fun. Web design should be fun. Your website should say a lot about you and be as entertaining and as different and unique as your business is, not the same old kind of crap that you might get if you went somewhere else.
And you mentioned that that's all done on CSS, which is, like you say, light and relatively light. Do you remember old websites where you'd have similar kinds of looking things, but it would all be done in Flash? You'd move your mouse and the dollars would fall off where the mouse was and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, like I was trailing just thinking animations that on the...
The guy who wants to come out the hat with the dollars, that would have been possible back in the late 90s with some Flash. It was terrible. You know, things have evolved hugely. Yeah, there's a huge amount of video, there's AI and all sorts of things like that. And I think, I think Andrew's wants to sort of go on to a bit of that, but it's just like,
why don't you like sort of, because you specialize in web design, but obviously there's just so much popularity in video, you're just keeping people's attention, and like AI is sort of just offering itself all the time and with them over the past like 9 months or so. And I'm just wondering, how do you just add these offerings to your services, adapting to these new challenges in terms of offering video production to your clients, or maybe telling them that AI is involved for some process, or just maybe not telling them, maybe yourself, you involve AI in helping you, I don't know, maybe create a structure for something. What are your, not thoughts, but like current activities with regard to modern technology?
Yeah, that's a great question. And no doubt by the time this podcast goes out, situations will have changed. We currently don't use AI in any of the creative process. So all of our content is written by human writers and edited by human editors. And we maintain that. And we have strict guidelines in place to make sure that's the case. We have a network of freelance writers that we use that we give regular work to. And every now and then we'll take on a new writer who tries to slip something through that's ChatGPT or something that they've AI generated. We have to check every piece of content to make sure it's not AI generated. And we use software to do that. It's kind of robots checking on robots. It's a weird situation, but that's the way it is. In terms of, say, video, we don't use AI for that. We don't actually generate any video ourselves in-house. If it's actual video, we will use videographers, because as Chris knows, I've got a film background. I went to film school back in the 90s and I wanted to be a film director. I know a lot of videographers, and I know a great videographer from a photographer that likes to make video. There's a difference. So we will refer really good video people to make videos. We will use AI, however, in the note-taking and the meeting process. So for example, we use AI for call recordings and for transcripts to make notes and then to go into a CRM. So anything that makes our admin life easier, that allows us to reference calls easier, to reference what clients have asked for easier, we will use it for that. But for the creative process, we don't touch it. And we are adamant that we're not going to do that. Obviously, things may change. Something may come in that alters it. But with Google's update in March, I'm glad we made this decision not to do it, because I know there's a lot of people out there that just go, hey, I'm going to use ChatGPT. I'm going to generate myself 50 blogs. I'm going to stick them straight on the website and that's going to be fine. And they've been doing that for a long time. And that is not fine. That is not cool. You should not be doing that. So we don't touch it. Only in admin processes will we use AI.
You mentioned that you have freelance copywriters and you also don't do video in-house. What is your core team? Like, if you were to build a team from scratch, what would you have in-house and what would you always like refer to like third parties?
That's a good question. All of our editors are in-house. So we currently have two full-time content editors, and their job is to liaise with the clients, take the briefs for the content. So all the blog content that we write on a monthly basis, the content landing pages we do for SEO, the websites that we build, we write all the content for the clients for. That's all handled by the editing team, who then brief that out to the writers. The writers write that. It comes through our own built system, because we've got our own CRM I developed myself about 15 years ago. No idea how it still works. No, it's actually in ASP and VBScript.
Okay.
Yeah.
Robust.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's basically been what our business is built on for 15 years. Yeah. So it's got something like 250,000 pieces of content have gone through it in that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it still works. It stands up. It's fine. But the writers all write the stuff and submit it to that. Our editors will then edit it and then add it to the client website after they've checked it for copy and after they've checked it for AI. We're actually advertising now for another editor, and they're all going to be in-house. So these are the absolute cream of the crop word nerds. We give them really, really strict tests. And if they don't get 37 or 38 out of 40 on this grammar and editing test, they don't even get to the second interview. So they have got to be absolutely perfect. We couldn't obviously have writers in-house, because that's not something that you can scale with the amount of content that we do. So we've got the editing team, we've got the web designers in-house, we've got client management, we've got new business, and we've got SEOs. And then of course we've got operations as well. We're probably going to expand the new business team next. That may be a new business closer, or it may be lead generation. We haven't decided best way to go for that, because at the moment lead generation kind of falls on me appearing on stuff like this, me arguing with people on the internet. That's what I do. But we don't want it to rely on me. So maybe I need to phase myself out of that a little bit, because, you know, I'm getting on. I'm getting old, man.
I wouldn't say that. You don't look a day over 60.
I wouldn't get out of you there. I want to get it as well.
It was the very first comment I made there. Thank you very much.
I was looking at your site the other day, and things like over 400 and something or other clients that you've helped over the last 14, 15 years or so. How are you sort of balancing that innovation that's happened in the last 14, 15 years in the industry itself, and also maintaining this like high quality service? Because, and I'm not you know, blowing smoke here. I've never heard anyone say anything bad about EngageWeb's quality of work or service. So clearly the quality of service is great. There's a lot of stuff that's changed in the last 15 years, and you must have been able to keep ahead of / on top of that. What have you been, how have you managed that as a leader of an agency?
Do you know, that's actually the trickiest thing, keeping on top of stuff, because stuff changes so fast. Unless you're involved, I'm going to use the term, at the coal face, because I'm Welsh, I can say that. Unless you're at the coal face, then you're not necessarily going to know what's coming in. Obviously, events like Brighton SEO are important to know what's happening and developing in the world, but we're relying on our team. We're relying on our team learning stuff. So one thing that we do, I think I've mentioned I'm a TEDx speaker, you know that, Chris. Mm-hmm. One thing that we do, I thought I'd get that in there, is that we have what we call Engage WebEx talks. Here in office, we do that maybe every 3 to 4 months, where we'll pick 5 members of the team to look at a particular developing topic within their sector. So be within SEO or be within web design, within CSS, within operations, within content editing, for example, or within AI. And they'll revise that topic. They'll look and they'll find out what's new about it. And they'll deliver a 14-minute talk to the team about it.
So nice.
Task our guys on doing this. So they are learning new stuff. They are making sure that they're at the front end. Because I think without that, you'll just get bogged down into doing what you do, doing the same processes week in, week out, month in, month out. And then you'll realize after a year, the stuff's moved on and you haven't. Well, we make sure they do that.
Speaking of stuff moving on and us not necessarily, I think running an agency is probably one of the most stressful types of jobs you can do from a business ownership point of view, not just because things in the industry are changing consistently, people in the industry are changing consistently, the industry itself is moving in different directions and splintering into different service lines and things like that. Clients expect different things. Some clients don't know what they need and all that sort of stuff. But at the top of the tree is the leader of the business. How are you kind of prioritizing where your focus goes? How are you prioritizing, you know, levels of stress that you might have to deal with? Like for me, I'm pretty sure, given how I know you, when I get stressed, I make loads of stupid jokes just to make myself laugh, if nothing else. I don't know if anyone else ever laughs at them, but I find myself a point when I was running the agencies of like, which priority is the priority? How do I do that? What's your technique for 15 years of longevity in that?
The best thing I could advise is get key people in the key roles to relieve that stress for you. If I was responsible for submitting accounts and doing payroll and checking that invoices have been paid, I would lose my shit. it's not my thing, and I would just be so stressed at trying to do it. I don't get involved with that. I have got no idea how much money's in our bank. I've got no idea how much money we earn on a monthly basis. And quite frankly, I don't care. That's somebody else's problem. So we've got our operations manager who's been with us for over 10 years now. He's the guy that does all of that. He does all of the accounting. He does all the invoicing. He does all the payment receipts and all the B&I thank you for the business that I put in every month. He does everything. Leanne does all of the overseeing and the management of the company, all the HR stuff, all of the one-to-ones with staff, because you have to have one-to-ones on a regular basis to make sure that your team doing the right thing, they're happy in their role, they're advancing, they're making the right decisions. I do none of that because, quite frankly, I don't care. My job is getting out there, being a bit of a mouthy git and making sure people know who we are and come to us in the first place. I've got no responsibility and I like it like that. And that's just the way it is. Don't try and do it all yourself. Go into business with someone else who's good at the things you're not good at. That's why most agencies, I think, fail. You'll get two people who love SEO or they love web design and they'll go into business together and they both love doing the SEO or they both love doing the web design, but they hate doing the admin part. They hate doing the invoicing. They hate doing the sales and they'll just fail.
And the good thing is some people quite like the boring bits, I must say, you know,
they do.
And some of the best hires I've ever had have been essentially what you'd call non-billable in an agency space. They're the ones that make sure that the things that the smart, innovative people do get done. And they're the ones that also hold everyone else to account and build the right things that allow you to go out and do those things. Because if they weren't there, you could do that. And if you were doing the thing you didn't like, then, you know, you'd, like you say, you wouldn't be very happy. Everyone else around you wouldn't be very happy either, I guess.
Yeah, I've had it described to me before and I never thought about it. It's a couple of years. A guy called David Williams, who's a good friend of mine, explained it to me that it's like a cricket team. Not everybody is good at bowling. Not everybody is good at batting. You need people who can bat. You need people who can bowl. And that's what makes a good team. Same in an agency.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think regardless of how things change in the future, the way that the dynamics of people-based businesses, you will always need people who have those kinds of skills that fit them personally. As things do sort of continue to change in the industry, I know that you go to a lot of events, you speak at a lot of things, you've got your ear to the ground, so to speak. What kind of trends do you see coming through that might well be kind of opportunities for Engaged Web?
Ironically, what I've just
AI.
I'm not going to say AI. Don't worry, I'm not going to say AI. Everybody says AI. What I'm going to say is contrary to what I've just talked about, and that's video. Video is becoming even more important than it was before, particularly with Google's generative search experience coming in, where you're going to get content sort of replaced on the front page of Google. It can't do the video. So if you're creating a cool piece of content that you want to get links to, that you want to get a featured snippet for, you want to get rankings for, that content should also be backed up by video that's on the same page, that's on YouTube, that's done the right way, using the right SEO for YouTube. And there's some great people who talk about that. Luke Sherin, who I think you've had on this before. Mm-hmm. He's brilliant at that. Creating the video to go with the content is a fantastic marriage. Will get you that position within Google's search generative experience that you can't get if you don't have the video as well. So although we're not doing the video personally, we have people we can recommend for it and use for it, and they can recommend us. It's a mutual referral partnership. So I think every single client of ours, every single business that wants to rank on the front page for anything remotely competitive needs to embrace video. And I know a lot of businesses who are shying away from it, say, no, I don't want to see my face. I don't want to do this. It's too much money. I'm not interested. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to make a video about. Get out your own bloody way. It needs to be done. It's going to be so important. And if you don't do it, you're just going to be left behind.
Absolutely. It's not that it's an emerging trend. It's a cementing trend now. It's something which, like you say, it needs to be done. And it kind of needed to be done a little while ago, but you could get away with it. And I spoke to someone the other day. I can't remember who it was. I'm saying that the search journey from wanting a thing to needing the thing to buying the thing is not linear anymore. It's not, I need a thing, I go on Google and I search. You might be on Instagram and see a video of something or a photo of something. Then you go on to TikTok and then you're on search. And then a bit later you're on Facebook and a bit later you get an email. And then you go to Google and maybe search for that thing. Mm. And if video is part of that journey in some fashion throughout, then there's an awful lot more to kind of hang that memorability on.
Absolutely. Because video will probably be a part of all of those patterns. It will fit into all of it, and you have to have it.
Darren, you mentioned that you're on the market for acquiring an agency in terms of growth, right?
That's correct, yes.
And I wanted to find out what your biggest goal for this year is. Maybe other than that, maybe it sort of crosses out other goals, like the acquisition of another agency. Just wanted to understand Engage Web's vector of development for this year. Obviously, you've told us that you are mostly due at these sorts of events to promote the agency. I'm hoping that you know the development that your Engage Web is going in. So if you can comment on that, that'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of things that we are going to be bringing in and need to be doing, both from a growth and lead generation perspective. I hate doing webinars. I hate doing online trainings. I hate doing online events because I get energy from a stage. I get energy from speaking in front of people, seeing the reaction and being able to play off that. But I've got to get out of my own way. I've got to take my own advice on this because I absolutely have to be doing it. We run events every month at our office. We do some on social media and content. And we do some on SEO. We're only able to service the local area. We have a small training room. There's only 12, 14 people we can get in there at any one time. It's not scalable. So we are going to be doing those online so that we can do them across the world. I just need to actually do it. And I don't want to do it. I'm going to hate doing it, but it has to be done. We're going to be using, I think, probably Webinar Jam to fulfill that. We've used that before. It's a pretty good platform. It's pretty robust. It can handle a lot of people at once. It's a platform I know, so should be okay with that. I've just got to get this mental block out of my head that I can't see people. Therefore, I don't know how they're engaged with it. Mm. But that's the one thing that we're going to be doing for lead growth, which then is going to feed into what we've got. It's called a membership site where we actually have something like 200 or so training videos on how to do SEO, how to do competitor analysis, keyword research, how to grow business via social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing. At the moment, we're going to be doing the first month for a quid, so people can try it for just £1, and that's going to feed into that. So the more people we can get into that, essentially it's lead generation, the more people we can get into the business. That's our plan for scale. And as you said, obviously, business acquisition is the big one. We bought two agencies last year, very, very small agencies. We've had a couple that we've been looking at over the last few months. Nothing's quite gone gone through yet. We've not quite found the right one or person in the right position to sell, but we are very much planning that to happen this year. And we're looking for something, an agency with a turnover, maybe anything from, say, 200 to a million is what we're really looking for. But it needs to have a team in place, not something that is based on one figurehead, one leader, that once they go out, they need at least two or three hires to replace them. That's the difficulty, because there aren't many agencies that are like that. They're all owner brand, which is the problem.
And there's a lot of frogs to kiss on both ends of both sides of that to find that sweet spot, because like you say, you could be between 200 and a million in revenue and not meet any of the other things. You could be at 5 million in revenue and still not meet those things. And like exactly. You say, you know, sometimes the owner shouldn't be involved at all, and you should be able to hire your replacement in order to sell. So that makes a lot of sense. Quick fire round, quick fires.
Okay.
Quick fire questions. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice I'd ever received would be, don't try and do everything yourself.
Advice you've ever received?
I'm shit at a lot of things. Worst advice you've ever received? Oh, that's a good question. What is the worst advice I've ever received? Do you know, I'm not even sure on that one. Don't go to networking, because you're not going to get any business from it.
I mean, it's true. You should never, ever network. Don't ever go to places.
No.
Biggest mistake you've ever made? Biggest ever?
Hiring the wrong person and giving them too much control and free rein without monitoring them closely.
The way you answered that suggests that when I say, would you make that mistake again? I feel like we all know the answer to this.
I absolutely would not make that mistake again.
And that's the quick fire round. Thank you.
All right. So that sort of brings today's episode to an end. And I want to thank you, Darren Jameson of Engage Web, for coming on. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
And also, Chris, as always, a sweetheart, and just taking on this and helping us. This whirlwind adventure is brought to you by SRanking, the go-to SEO tool set for over 40,000 digital agencies worldwide. If you're ready to take your agency's SEO game to the next level, be sure to join the SRanking family. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button for more insights, laughs, and all things SEO. This is Andrew Zarudny alongside Chris Simmons signing off from the SEO agency roller coaster. Stay tuned for more episodes, and remember, in the world of SEO, the ride never truly ends.